Welcome to the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center podcast. Every month, we share at least one new talk on the practice of Zen Buddhism at zmc.org/podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, and all other podcast apps. If you find these talks to be valuable, please consider supporting Yokoji by donating at zmc.org/donate. We rely on your support to continue sharing this life-changing practice. Thank you. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Good morning. Hope you're all doing well. Hope your year's going good. So for the time being, I'm going to talk about time being. Yesterday, I didn't get too far with it. I think basically I wanted to try and do this in three talks. But I'm not sure if that's possible. So I think we got through the first paragraph. So today I'm going to try and do it in a little bit different way. I'm going to try and do the next three paragraphs, and then I'll just open it up for any questions or comments. And then just keep on moving forward like that. Then for the last one, if we don't make much of a dent in this, I'll just focus on the ones that I feel are really most important. Okay, so we'll start off with paragraph two. So I'll read from paragraph two to paragraph four, and then again, being time, moon and a dewdrop. And then I'll finish at, paragraph four. Even though you do not measure the hours of the day as long or short, far or near, you still call it 24 hours. I'm using 24 instead of 12, because that's more what we use. Because the signs of time's coming and going are obvious, people do not doubt it. Although they do not doubt it, they do not understand it. Or when sentient beings doubt what they do not understand, their doubt is not firmly fixed. Because of that, their past doubts do not necessarily coincide with the present doubt. Yet doubt itself is nothing but time. Three, the way the self arrays itself is the form of the entire world. See each thing in this entire world as a moment of time. Things do not hinder one another, just as moments do not hinder one another. The way-seeking mind arises in this moment. A way-seeking moment arises in this mind. It is the same with practice and with attaining the way. Thus, the self setting itself out in a ray sees itself. This is the understanding that the self is time. Four, know that in this way there are myriads of forms and hundreds of grasses throughout the entire earth. Yet each grass and each form itself is the entire earth. The study of this is the beginning of practice. When you are at this place, there is just one grass, there is just one form. There is understanding of form and no understanding of form. There is understanding of grass. I mean, this word grass can also mean complications. There is understanding of grass and no understanding of grass. Since there is nothing but this moment, the time being is all the time there is. Grass being, form being are both time. Each moment is all being, is the entire world. Reflect now whether any being or any world is left out of the present moment. It's a good question. In that one. So anyway, those are the three that we'll start with. And again, each of these paragraphs really is just looking at the same thing from a different perspective. And, this is basically how an adept looks at their own art. It's just not a linear thing. They can see it from many perspectives. And they can see it as many perspectives as each student sees it in that way. So it's also important to understand your own life in this way. Even though you do not measure the hours of the day as long or short, far or near, you still call it 24 hours. Well, that seems to be pretty straightforward. It's 24 hours, whether it's long or short. And each one of us has got to see that. We've got to look at it. Quite often we like it when we're immersed and time flies. I don't particularly like it when time drags, but sometimes I do. You know, so it's just like, still, whether it's long or short, we appreciate it as 24 hours. We say, where has the time gone? We say all kinds of things like that. And yet, there are times where time doesn't seem to obey the rules that we've set there. I remember once I had a motorbike accident and I crashed into a car going in the opposite direction. I was kind of thrown across the road. And I hit the center of this car, and then time really slowed down to the point where I've never been in a position like that before. I just flew up in the air about 12 feet. My crash helmet fell off. I landed on the hood of this car. I rolled off the car. I saw the wheels of the car come in for my head. And the next thing, I was 12 feet away. You know, I mean, it's an impressive story, you know. Don't copy the don't fasten the helmet thing, though. And time has its own passage. It flows in ways that we don't know. Still, that was part of the 24 hours. Because the signs of time's coming and going are obvious, people do not doubt it. I don't know many people actually doubt time, you know. I think the speed of time is more what people want to change in one way or another. Although they do not doubt it, they do not understand it. Now, that's interesting, you know, because a lot of times people don't really look into their own existence, this being time, and seeing how that functions, see our relationship with time. See if any of the views that we have about time actually are at odds with our own being. And in that process, a lot of these views can be dropped, and then this being time can really be seen. And that's part of the understanding of time, you know. I remember another time I was trying to will time, actually to go back in time. I tried to do it because I just cut myself really badly. And I was going, okay, let's just go back in time now. And as hard as I could try it, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Things would not reverse. So, but there's this thing where people imagine that they can do things, but they don't put it into practice. They don't try and see if their relationship, their views with time can be really ultimately understood. And so then they are at the mercy, basically, of their own views on being and time. Or when sentient beings doubt what they do not understand, their doubt is not firmly fixed. Now, this is really important because in Zen we have the three essentials: great faith, great doubt, great determination. And that one, so this doubt is important in that's the very penetrating force of our own practice. You know, it's just not taking something on the surface, but actually going into it. And go, well, why do I doubt it? See what's going on. Quite often, doubt acts like a diffused light. And so instead of using it to actually look at something very directly and very clearly, we doubt everything on a very minor level. So then we can have a certain separation from our environment and the things that are around it, rather than going, well, this doesn't seem right. What is this? And then just cut into it in that way. Many people live their lives that way. And so therefore, they don't gain any true understanding or true penetration into the being time that each one of us is on a momentary basis. So it says their doubt is not firmly fixed. So again, it's like when you, one of the beauties of koan study is that all of your doubt, all of your inquiry can be put into one focus. And in that one focus, then you can use all that energy to break through. Okay, because of that, their past doubts do not necessarily coincide with their present doubt. Yet doubt itself is nothing but time. So, and again, just in terms of the way that doubt is used, this is most important. And our doubts may not be the same that we had 10 years ago, but that process of using doubt can be used over and over and over in very positive ways. And again, yet doubt is nothing but time. And this is another aspect of practice too, is that a lot of people think that all doubt is erased with enlightenment. And that's not necessarily so. One of the things is that this inquiry is there right from the beginning. It's not that I doubt my being. It's just like, what is this? What's going on? How is that person learning? One of the things with so-called realization is you let the dogs loose. You know, you see wherever something's coming from, and you find out you don't just take it for granted. And so that penetrating wisdom, which doubt is, then can cut through all of the barriers that get in the way with your relationships with people and things. Okay, so that's number two. Now, this is interesting. He begins to sort of move away from the direct being time here. And he starts to look at the self. Now, the self as being time, but he's sort of changing it somewhat. And it's very much like actualizing the fundamental point at this phase, maybe paragraph two. In that, he says, the way the self arrays itself is the form of the entire world. Each thing is this entire world as a moment in time. Now, it's kind of interesting now, if you skip the stuff in the middle and you go to the last line, he sews it back up again. The self setting itself out in array sees itself. This is the understanding that the self is time. Now, this is standards Dogen, because when he talks about the self, he's not talking about I, me, mine. When he says the way the self arrays itself is the form of the world, the self is the form of the world. Again, when I wake up in the morning, never has the world not shown up. That's all part of this self. It's all part of the whole scheme that we are. But what we try and do as human beings, we try and maneuver within this like we are separate. You know, when the self is always like this, we're not going anywhere and we never have gone anywhere. You know, because the self is our body and mind right from the beginning. This goes back to Shakyamuni Buddha's enlightenment. He goes, all beings, the great earth, simultaneously attain the way. So this moment in time, the entire way is simultaneously realized. In other words, it is the reality of our lives. So he's just saying a fact. He's just saying a fact, and he's being a parrot for Shakyamuni Buddha's statement. But this is really important, because a lot of people, when they start to practice, is, oh, well, what's in it for me? In fact, one of my Dharma brothers was doing a class on I'll practice. And I know that, you know, this isn't the limit of his understanding. He's trying to encourage people. So I've got to put that kicker in there. But it's just like, there is nothing in it for me. So those of you that want something, quit now. Because the important thing is you already have everything that you need. You know, the sky covers you. The earth supports you. People are always around. Things are always around. Never is there anything missing. This is the basis of step seven on the Eightfold Path. Right mindfulness. The mind is full. It doesn't mean the brain. It means everything is here. There's nothing missing. You can't even put a credit card in it. Everything is here as your own mind. So then from that perspective, he goes on. See each thing in this entire world as a moment in time. And I think we can agree with that statement. It is a moment in time. I think if they'd have known about the word momentary, this translation would have been even better. Because you can't freeze a moment. Momentary means it's a flow in this respect. He goes on, things do not hinder one another, just as moments do not hinder one another. And again, this is a truth. But what do we do in our common language and how we communicate with one another? You know, they are stopping me from practicing, or they are doing this and that, you know. I remember there was an Irish singer called Rory Gallagher, who's a really good blues player, and he did this song. I could have had religion, but my woman wouldn't let me pray. You know, it's like we are hindered by when these circumstances change. Then I can be time. No, in the midst of what you feel is hindrance is being time. You know, so the question is, apply that. Don't let your impression of life be the barrier. You know, whether it is difficult, whether it's easy, that's exactly the practice, and it can't be another way. It was the same for the Buddha. You know, he had difficulties. Again, his country was destroyed by his mother's country. You know, and that's not an easy thing. He tried to do whatever he could, but he wasn't hindered by that. That was an occurrence. That was being time in itself. So he goes on in this way. The way-seeking mind arises in this moment, and that's important. So what is the way-seeking mind? You know, we have the, I think in Japanese, it's something like Hotsu Bodaishi. Or raising this Bodhi mind, the raising this sense of awakening, which can be as easy as, you know, I've been dreaming for the last few minutes or hours. Okay, let's wake up. Can be simple as that. Or it can be that, so that's a moment of that. And then he says the next one, a way-seeking moment arises in this mind. It is the same with practice. It is the same with attaining the way. So whatever arises now. If we want to awake, it's right here as being time at this moment. There's nowhere else to look for it or to wait for it. If we want to be that, then that's the important thing. Again, if we go back to Master Dogen's original intent, which was each of these fascicles, like being time, would be actualizing the fundamental point of being time. So he's going to use Genjo Koan as part of the title of each one of these. So if we want to fully actualize being time, we do that now. And then do it over and over. You can't wait for the future. It doesn't come. You know, that much we know it now, practice it. Even if it seems like small, practice it. It's important. Okay. Four. Know that in this way there are myriads of forms and hundreds of grasses throughout the entire earth, yet each grass and each form itself is the entire earth. The study of this is the beginning of practice. The beginning of practice, he says. Right? The beginning of practice. Know that in this way, there are myriads of forms and hundreds of grasses throughout the entire earth. And yet, each grass or each complication, each form is the entire earth. The study of this is the beginning of practice. That seems pretty advanced to me. You know, most people at the beginning are looking to get some relief from suffering or to maybe escape the habits and so-called feelings of being imprisoned that occur. The study of this is the beginning of practice. Now, when you are in this place, there is just one grass, one complication. There is just one form. There is understanding of form and no understanding of form. There is understanding of grass and no understanding of grass. Since there is nothing but this moment, the time being is all the time there is. Grass being, form being are both time. Each moment is all being, is the entire world. Reflect now whether any being or any world is left out of the present moment. And that's the key to the whole, to this whole paragraph. Reflect now and see if there is any being left out at this moment in time. So if I reflect on that, I can't really find anything left out. I really can't. You know, it's not any great attainment, but I can't think there's anything left out. Because being and time are the flow of this moment in time. There is nothing that's missing there. Now, if there is, that for you, that is exactly the place that needs to be looked at, to be clarified. Because again, it's not a matter of just believing in the words of some old master, because even the translation may be off, as far as we know. You know, I mean, we don't know on that level. But the important thing is that examine these things, and through that examining, then something is learned, something is raised that may help us in terms of our own living. So. Again, a lot of times now, the way that the Buddhism is encapsulated is from a karmic experience, one, and then secondly through a being present experience, which is, you know, the being time. Now, through the karmic experience is that there is a statement that says, well, if you practice now, you'll be enlightened later. Okay, so many people practice and live that way. Now imagine now if you are already awakened. That this is as good as it gets. That there is no reward. Then what are you left with? Being time. Now, with that is that this is where the grasses come in. So you've got complications that arise in life. You know, as we all know. Is anyone here has got no complications? Raise your hands, please. You know, and again, all forms of practice. This is important. So he also talks in this one, is that... everybody basically stands in the same place, which is being time. So it's not that there are awakened people and not awakened people. Everybody is being time. Everybody has something to teach, either by actions or by words. It doesn't really matter. And then the realization in this is that everybody is this being time. Everybody stands in the same place. So that respect is really due to other people, whether they be of any other religion or no religion or whatever. Their humanity, their being in themselves is a great teaching. How they go through all of the different complications in their own life and using their own ingredients in a way that none of these ingredients really hinder them in that way. Okay, well, time flies. I'm going to open it up for this part, and then we'll do the same. I'll do another section after this. So if you have anything you'd like to bring up or any questions, please do. I think Anita. So if you'll mute yourself.
I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting to be called on so soon.
Yeah.
I had a big reaction to last week and in a dewdrop. And it reminded me of many things. First of all, it reminded me of Wallace Stevens' poem of 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, my God, was Wallace Stevens a Buddhist? Because it's so uncanny,
yeah,
the parallels between the two. And it reminded me of the problem I have with koans.
Yeah, yeah.
Always irritated me.
Yeah, yeah.
Always. And the thing is that when I was a little girl, and we all remember being young, and we all remember suffering, I know I never reached towards spirituality or religion for relief. I reached towards the arts.
Yeah.
And it was because when I was, and even now, when I'm really in it, I become being time.
Yeah.
In other words, when I'm really engaged with materials and a piece of paper or a piece or a thought I'm trying to express in a poem, body and mind just fall away. I'm just it, okay? And I thought, I see. I think the issue I have with koans is not the what, it's the way I approach it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I keep approaching it as a philosophy. So I can remember, for instance, when I first read Socrates talking about virtue with some idiot outside the law court.
Yeah.
That to me is like philosophy. But the thing about philosophy is that it does the same thing.
Yeah.
Because you realize as you talk, you're talking complete nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, but the thing is, I never reached in that direction. I never did. And I remember the first really great art teacher I had is we were doing life drawing, which is the first mountain an art student has to climb.
Yeah.
And what she did is she gave us a naked person and she put a thicket of easels in front of them so we couldn't see them.
Yeah.
What she kept saying is you've got to see what's there, not what you think is there.
Yeah.
So you were forced to see as is it for the first time. Because the second thing she did was to have a ballet dancer who changed their position every 30 seconds. So you had 30 seconds to get it.
Yeah.
In other words, she pushed us into the moment. She pushed us into that place where you could only be in this moment. There was nowhere else to be.
Yeah.
And the last thing she did for us, which I will then leave you with, is that she said, okay, look at this person.
Mm-hmm.
Now close your eyes and draw them.
Yeah.
And that's where I understand from this being time. I understand from that position. And that's all I wanted to add.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, again, it's the, you know, koan basically is the questions that bring us into contact with reality. You know, so if there's a gap there, that's what koan works on. So that can be in words, or it can be just in what arises on a daily basis.
Well, the first thing I do with a koan, which I think I've got to drop, is that I stand back to try and understand what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, jump into it instead.
Well,
like you do with art, you know.
Well, I can do it I can jump into the moon into a dewdrop like a poet.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's a really good writer.
I mean, it's like it is a poem.
Yeah.
And once I jump into it as a poem, my fear of not understanding falls away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, good. And also, you know, I mean, just the aspect of right or wrong, pass or fail, is that those things also have to be thrown out.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point of stepping back. It's like being at school, you know.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? How are they talking? Why are they talking about it?
Yeah.
Why don't I understand? I mean, it's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, you think you should understand.
Yes. I have always survived my life by understanding.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
You know, anything I didn't understand, you know, threw me to the curb, trust me.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Anita. Right, Terry, Perry, Penny.
I'm here.
Good morning.
Morning.
She's sitting on the other side of the table doing a little project, but she's listening.
I'm taking notes.
On the line in number 4, since there is nothing but just this moment, the time being is all the time there is. I kind of caught on it. This was years ago, and when somebody asks you if, you know, you have time, you kind of be a wise ass and say, I have all the time in the world. Well, really, at this moment, I do have all the time in the world, because that's all there is, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, well, you got to ask yourself that. I can't say that for you.
Yeah, right. But, you know, normally if you say that to somebody, they just say, you know, like, I could be on my deathbed and I think I have all the time in the world, which is true, but other people won't understand that, so they kind of look at you.
Yeah.
The other thing I had is when I watch a good movie, I get totally absorbed in the movie. And I'm inside of it. Nothing else is there. So being time is the time presented by that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And if the movie goes to slow motion, time goes slow motion. If it jumps 2 days, time jumps 2 days. Mm-hmm. So, but this is interesting that, yeah, you can't get away from time being time, even if you're in a movie.
No, and, you know, I mean, that's why, you know, Dogen talks about this so much. I mean, for me, as I look at it, and I go, it's too much. He's just saying way too much. You know, like this is my being time, right here. One sentence for each of those things. But then that allows me to kind of see into his mind a little bit, because I've got to read very closely so I can distill what I feel he's talking about. And then, but it's not what he's talking about. He's talking about my life. Now, if I take it that way, then I can read it and I can take the time, you know, and be that time and be immersed in it, you know, and that's a major part of practice, is that immersion. You know, nowadays the way that Zen and a lot of Buddhism is packaged is observational. I am seeing how my life is. But, you know, that's a really good example, is that when I'm watching a movie, I'm in it totally.
Right.
Like when I'm playing soccer, or I'm, you know, one of the things I teach the kids when I'm playing soccer is that most people think that the tactics start when the game begins. So I would tell my kids, is like, you know, especially if we had a left-footed player, I would say, just play with your right, just practice with your right before the game. And then I say, now watch how those people move. So I would say to my people, watch how they move, look at their strengths and look at their weaknesses, look at which feet that they go with. And then when the game starts, they're set. Right at the beginning, they know what they're facing too. Unless there's someone like me on the other side who's doing the same thing. Is that this is the big game. This is being time. You know, there's no ways that you can get out of that. And that's another thing, is that You know, a lot of people will, I don't know what being time is. Okay, then try and escape being time. You know, and it's fascinating. I've never been able to do it.
Yeah, I like that. All the old karate masters who won a lot of tournaments, they always said they always paid attention to the strengths and weaknesses of all their competitors before they ever got into the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
They would do what to take advantage of and what to look out for.
Yeah.
But that's also
the absorption. Make it your life. There's no place where there isn't practice.
Right.
It's not like there's a big game and then there's this. No, this is the big game. No matter what I'm doing.
Yeah, I've got to say I feel perfectly comfortable being time. I mean, it's
yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. Say no more. Yeah. Let's finish the talk now. Yeah. All right, thanks. All right, Sheila, you're up.
Thank you, Roshi.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just have to say I'm really, really enjoying this. I think the idea of being able to look at something before the talk is just it kind of makes it easier to understand what's going on.
Definitely,
So I've been trying to do what you said last week about taking each of the paragraphs and writing in one sentence. Yeah. So I've been trying to do that. I've got up to number four. I was just having a number five. But my question, I've got lots of questions, but a very simple question. It's got stars all over the place.
Yeah.
And I can't find out where the stars are explained.
I can't either. I can't.
All right.
Yeah. Those things Maizumi Roshi would mention to me, in that way. But this is kind of interesting too, is that understanding and realization are regarded as two different things. No, because it's interesting. In old English, understand came from to stand under, which was more to experience or to realize. But then it changed, And then realization comes from the thing to make real. Realization doesn't have to be an understanding. It is just how it operates in your life, and then you go along with it. In that respect. And that's highly valued in the Zen school, because you can memorize facts and you can understand things, but it's usually somewhat objective rather than immersive. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, Jonan, you're on.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can see you too.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take these off. I didn't know that you were going to talk about this, but it was very funny. I was watching a YouTube video about Einstein's idea of time, and I wouldn't mention it except that it's kind of funny that I would watch that right before this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you. Oh yeah, I really appreciate all this stuff. By the way, Sheila was asking, there's notes, like three quarters. It's not totally at the end, but it's three quarters of the end in the back of the book. And I don't know what, in The Moon and the Dewdrop, it's on page 241, at least. That's where they start. They're called notes, so they go by the chapter, so they're back there.
Yeah, but it doesn't say what these things are. I'm just looking at it now, and it doesn't say. I tried it this morning, and if you do find it, you can say what those things are.
Okay.
Yeah, but even with the word understand, that's one of the things that's put in a star or no understanding.
Okay.
And for each one of us, we can look at that, you know, because it's just like with one, there is understanding of form and no understanding of form. That no understanding of form is, it doesn't hinder us. You know, we think that we need to understand something to function, but quite often we just function and then understanding comes from the functioning. You know, it's just like, just do it and then it happens.
You know, the thing for me about Dogen is like, you know, there'll be things that I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And then the next sentence is all he'll say something and be like, what? Like, no, don't get that. But at least what I get from this whole thing is that, you know, the whole shebang is time being. So
yeah.
I mean, this time being, I like the way it whole starts because it's, and I guess you did that last week, but, you know, for, you know, for somebody on the peak of the mountain, somebody in the valley, it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing that you brought up, which has been really important for me, is that you know, taking this as you know, what's happening now, you know, so.
It is.
So that understanding, or, you know, what if, I think that's what you said, what if realization was never going to happen in the future, and but it's happening now, what does that mean then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That means the way I am and the way I'm, everything right now is that. And that's very,
mm-hmm.
been very helpful to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Even as far as, you know, I was going to mention, you know, with Christianity, and they call about the presence of God, or God this, God that, or
yeah.
whatever. And then, you know, for me, it was like, well, why, you know, if what they're saying is true, then it must be true right now.
So yeah, exactly. It, yeah.
It's happening right now. And it's like, oh, yeah. Okay. And then, if nothing else, that helps me to pay attention to what's happening now and
yeah.
appreciate it and try to get
yeah.
away from it.
Yeah.
So that's... Yeah, that's been helpful.
I mean, the same teachings are there. They seem to be a lot more angles in Buddhism. So a lot more different ways you can approach it in that way. You know, if Christ had lived till he was in his 60s or something like that, he probably, you know, there probably would have been more information along those lines, and, you know, obviously, and more stuff from experience too.
Yeah, one of the things from his movie. Well, not his movie, but the movie about A.A. Dogen, when he's, you know, he came back from China and he started his monastery, and then people were really excited, and then he's out there working, you know, he's pulling some weeds or something, and then some guy comes up, one of the monks comes up to him, and Dogen says, well, where's everybody? And he goes, oh, well, it's the day off. You know, they all went to town or whatever. Mm. And just the look on his face, like, you know, so disappointed. Like, he's there working. Like, this is...
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to say about that, my friend was talking about Zen practice, and he's playing golf, and he goes, yeah, you know, I would make people play golf because you can really see where people are at when they're playing golf, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, they're doing stuff, and... playing like shit or whatever, and I'm like, well, you know, that's why we have work practice, you know.
yeah.
And now we start work practice, they're just getting us to work for free, you know, like.
Yeah, again, you know, these are views, and we've got to pay attention to those views. But, you know, again, is that with this being time, is that everything's included in that. You know, whether it be work, whether it be, you know, being happy, being sad, relationship, working to build our own society in all its many forms, cleaning the house, having a shit, playing music, that you can't escape it. And that's, you know, that's the reason we did it. If there was a better way, those ways would be done. But the essential way of Zen and Buddhism in general is if you can do this doing nothing, you can do it doing in every other aspect of your life. Because always people want a vehicle to put it in. When there's no vehicle, that's very difficult for people. you know, to be nothing, to do nothing, then that's where, you know, really your nature shines forth. You don't need to be or do something to be someone. No, that's extra.
Right, yeah, that's an important point. Yeah.
Because if you are this nothing, then everything can come out of that. You know, because as soon as you are something, then there's usually a polar opposite, which you can't enter into. Because that's not for cool people, you know. So if you regard yourself as cool even, you know, then you can't do those things that are uncool. Now, if you're cool, you wouldn't do that anyway. But the thing is, you can't enter into that, and you may want to at some point. You know, you've already created your boundaries. The opposites are there. I remember my Izumi Roshi, you know, I mean, the story's just funny. It's just we were at Harmonia Monday, which was like a cross-spirituality dialogue thing. The Dalai Lama came, and there was like Muslims, Christians, Jewish people, and there was a panel, and Izumi Roshi was on it. And the guy that was asking them questions just said, I'm just throwing this out. He goes, if you could be anyone in history, who would you be? And immediately Izumi Roshi stands up and goes, nobody, nowhere. And then Lex Hickson, who was the Muslim guy, he goes, that's cheating. He's a Zen master. You know, it was funny in that respect, is because again, is that then you can be all of these things. There isn't a way you need to be.
Yeah, I find for myself, yeah, I've been having troubles with my apartment and getting my, manager to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that I can be not forceful, but you know, I can keep reminding them to do stuff.
Yeah.
And getting conversations with them, and that works very well. And what doesn't work very well for me, though, is thinking about it when I'm not with them and thinking,
yeah,
they're doing this because of this and this and that. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I know I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but yeah, working with people is my life, and then I can see where I'm trying to do stuff to make it my life. Where that, even though Dogen would say that's my life too, which it is, you know. But on the other hand, it kind of seems to try to point me away from it, even though you would say that would. Impossible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what I'm saying. So,
good. Okay. All right. Let Deanne speak then.
Good.
See you, John. Yeah. All right, Deanne.
Oh, no. Now I have to start out as if I do know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
You know, the thing with time, which, you know, usually when we're talking like it in a noun that's got a capital T or something, I mean, to me, that's where my confusion gets sometimes. If I think of time as a noun, and then I'm somehow mm-hmm. separate from time, in which I could manipulate time. See, once it's a noun, then I can apply verbs to it and do something with it, to it, around it. And that's all just a delusion.
Mm-hmm.
So to think of time as a noun, I think, is kind of the crux of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just like thinking of being as a noun. I mean, this time, and we talk as if time is the thing that is moving. Time isn't moving. It's not doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The right. Forms are moving within time. We don't know what time is.
Mm-hmm. The way you're talking about it, you're separating from it. The forms are moving within time. Is that really true?
Yeah, well, it's hard to speak.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I mean, that's what the same problem that Dogen's facing in this is that, you know, I don't think he's looking at it in terms of sentence structure with noun and etc. But, you know, just like in human being, is that's a doing to start off with. So that's a function, basically. And then the being and time are not separate, you know, in that way. So if we just throw away all the concepts now at this moment in time, we're left with this, which isn't separated in any way, shape, or form. So that's part of it, is to read the words and then reflect directly back onto this, which is always like this and always will be in that respect.
Yeah, because as soon as we speak, we've created a concept.
Yeah, and
we've created some separation.
Yeah.
I want to reflect back on what Anita was talking about with poems.
Yeah.
As these poets were Buddhists, whether they were or not, there's this Rilke poem that says, lift one tree up against the sky and you have made the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, yeah, don't try to understand the tree. Don't try to understand the sky. Just sit with that.
Mm-hmm.
And just be with that tree up against the sky.
Yeah.
And that's a moment of understanding about time, about life, about your own being. But, you know, and he's a poet, so he puts it into words.
Mm-hmm.
But the way a poet puts it into words, it, like a koan, you can't just take hold of it with the rational
mind. No.
So, you could do that, though. Billy Collins has a wonderful poem, Anita, if you can find it, where he talks about his students, and he gives all these beautiful metaphors of how he wants them to think about a poem and approach a poem.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, at the end, what they do is tie it to a chair and beat it with a rubber hose to make it give up its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like you can do that with koans, right?
Oh, yeah.
We can just do that with what's in front of us in our daily life. You know, I don't understand why I'm feeling like this. I don't know why I have to go through this. I don't know what this suffering is.
Yeah.
Maybe if I tie it to a chair and beat it with a rubber hose, it'll give up its understanding.
Yeah. But, you know, also we have to remember is that in living and in communication, we find out how people are. And then we can address that. That's where the words are important, how people use language in that way. And Dogen writes this because he's attacking views that people have, and he's presenting other views. So as you can be awakened by many of these different expressions. I mean, there's a good example. When I was working down in Cornwall, I was working with an artist. We were building a septic system, and you know, thing for shit to flow through. So, like talking, but and you know, I was saying, can you get me a wheelbarrow full of that gravel over there? Something as innocuous as that. And he said, "Oh, that grey pile." And then immediately I realized that he saw the world differently than I did. So I asked him a question. You know, I was about 23, 22, but I was kind of interested. And so I said, how do you see this meadow that we were in? We were in a meadow. And he goes, do you see the ways that those telegraph lines bisect over in that far corner? And I looked up and I saw it. I goes, wow. You see the world differently than I do, you know. And it's just this thing. It's just this thing about perspective, is that you talk with someone, you see how they see the world, and that can wake you up in certain ways you never, you know, you never realized. And so it's very important. And that's koan. That's the inquiry. How is that person thinking? How is that? How are they feeling? What makes them tick? You know. But if we just don't do that, then we don't develop that understanding. You've got to enter in, you know. Like in this one, he goes, swallow the world whole. So you swallow the people's views, you swallow their ways, and then also you spit them out at some point. You've learned. You don't need those anymore. You know, so this practice is always, you know, is always going on in so many different ways. And the important thing is to be, to inquire into it and be inquisitive about living in itself.
Sure, it's understanding the tree from sitting, looking at it against the sky, from writing a poem about it, mm-hmm. from understanding the rhizomes that are going on under the ground scientifically. It's all of the above. It's all mm-hmm. part of the understanding. It's mm-hmm. never, well, there's nothing to capture. You know, it's like we kind of want to capture what that yeah. thing is, what mm-hmm. that understanding is, what that moment is. We want to, or maybe I should say I, you know, there's this thing of wanting to capture it.
Yeah.
And then, now I understand it. And rather than just going with the experience, maybe I don't have to understand it.
No, and then, you know, later on he gets into flow. He talks about flow a lot more.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, how are we doing?
So, Shiro has clarified the asterisks
yeah.
in chat. So if people are interested in finding what those asterisks correspond to, you can check the chat. Thank you, Shiro.
Yeah, thanks, Shiro. All right, anyone else? Because I could go into the next one, but maybe there wouldn't be too much in the way of time for questions. Jindo.
Hey, yeah, I think the part you pointed out at the beginning a lot too, with the what do you call it, long or short,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether time is long or time is shorter, it's flying by or dragging. That those are all, I think it brought home that it's just labels,
and
that inadvertently, even more so the fact that we changed it to 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, there it's 12 hours. I mean, yeah. it's just the label. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's, exactly.
We can label it as 24 hours, or we can label it as 12 hours. We can say the hour is 60 minutes.
Yeah.
We've got 24 of them, or the hour is 120 minutes, and we've got 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a different label that we put on.
Yeah.
And I think that, take it a step further, time is just a label.
Yeah.
Time is a label that we put on being.
Yeah.
But time is being, mm-hmm. being is time, because it's just different labels that we're hanging on the experience of living.
Yeah.
And that we can call it different things with different labels, but if we don't get stuck on the label, it just, you know, sometimes it makes it easier, but sometimes it makes it harder. If I feel like it's dragging and I don't want it to drag, then it's harder. Or if it's flying and I want it to last longer, or if I want it to be the future or the past, like I'll be this way in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'm hanging the label on the future time mm-hmm. as being different from now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was,
are we there yet?
Set up the stage for everything to follow.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Exactly. So, that's, I thought it was really, you know, it starts off and then it kind of elaborates. And it kind of,
yeah.
There's another way of explaining it.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of Dogen. He gets into it and, you know, in a, I don't know, I mean, he is a very analytical yet lively presentation that he's doing here, you know.
It's not just getting, like, don't get hung up or get stuck on a label. It's also don't get stuck on one perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
It's gravel, it's a gray pile.
Right.
It is what it is, you know, and then it's interesting. You can get unstuck from it, you must call it gravel to be like, okay, the great pile. Get two of them.
Yeah.
But it's free. It's free. I guess that's the whole thing about, you know, the freedom that comes with being alive and enjoying it.
And it, you know, I mean, just the way that we use, say, the word time, you know, like people say, you know, well, he deserves this because he's put a lot of time into it. But that time can be anything, too. You know, but, and then there's that absorption in time, or it takes time. You know, in many ways, it's like, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, it does. Whether you're here or... You know what?
Time is just being.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not being, what are you?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good. I like how it builds on itself. It sort of shows itself explicitly, and then also it sort of shows itself despite itself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hide it. It's all right there. You know?
Yeah. Thanks.